Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Kia ora and welcome to season 3 of the Aotearoa Rugby Pod. I'm Ross Carr. The show is out on Rugby Pass and Sky Sport, breaking down the game as we go right throughout the season, giving you all of the technical insights, a few great yarns from what's going on inside the camps, and you know, a good look at all of the players and how they're doing. Of course, the guys who are joining me on the show, coming out of Queenstown, we have Bryn Hall, always in the good spots. James Parsons, of course, on the sunny North Shore. Bryn, let's start with you, mate. Welcome back. But how is Queenstown treating you before, you know, round one of Super Rugby?
Oh, look, I won't lie. We're at a really good spot down here in Queenstown. So the Hiltons have been really great to us, and I've been fortunate enough to have a few great swims in the lake just down the road. So, but no, look, honestly, we're just happy to be able to still be able to play, obviously with the COVID and Omicron and everything that's involved. We're just fortunate enough to be able to be in a position where we can play rugby games. So we've been down here now acclimatized for the last week and got our last preseason game against the Hurricanes boys. And then, you know, we're playing them again this week. And so, yeah, we're really looking forward to it. And I think more so for the competition to still be able to be playing under these trying circumstances with COVID still floating around.
Acclimatized, what, to the tees? I see a golf bag in the background.
The golf bag is out there, but if you can see behind me, Ross, it's still closed. Haven't been able to actually open up the golf bag and been able to get on the courses. So we've got our inside backs, Mitchie Drummy, myself, going up against David Harvillian and Will Jordan on Wednesday, hopefully, in the inaugural insides and outsides. So Drummy and myself, we're down one, so hoping to bring one back in for the insides for moving forward.
Tough gig down there at the Hilton. Up at the Hilton in the North Shore, James Parsons. How have you been going, mate? How's the off-season treated you?
Yeah, very well. Funny you should bring up golf. I've decided to pick up golf myself. Played when I was a lot younger, starting out my career, but then the old injuries didn't allow me to play throughout the last probably 8 years. So I've picked it back up over summer and joined Waitemata Club just down in Devonport. So looking forward to having a swing with Bryn once he's back up here in Auckland.
Hey man, and the handicap, where did you leave it and where are you picking it up?
No, I probably left it around 16 and I don't have one at the moment. So I think you've got to play 5 full rounds, is it, Bryn? And I've only played 2. So I've still got a few to go before I get the handicap.
Yeah, it actually gets worse from here. Like, the first 2 rounds back are the good ones. the next 10 are the shit ones, right?
The first round I shot 89. I was wrapped with that to break 90. So
you're a burglar, mate. You're a burglar.
That was happy days. Happy days. But there was a few, like, fluke 70-foot putts that I wouldn't know how to read a green. I just smacked it and it went in. So it was a good day.
What are you playing off, Bryn?
I'm playing off 11. I need it to go up for our competition because I'm not playing.
Here we go.
I'm not playing like it. I haven't been able to play a lot in the last probably 4 or 5 months. So, yeah, terrible. I'll take an 89, to be honest, these days. So I'll take an 89.
Is Drummy carrying you, is he?
Oh, he's been carrying me the last 2 years in our competition, if I'm being honest. I think I've been overawed by the occasion and the golf course and how great it's been. So, yeah, it's a big turnaround for me this year, hopefully, so I can start carrying Drummy. And, I can have the ice on my shoulders, not his.
It's probably the... Under Armour golf kit that he's got that probably just makes the difference, mate.
Oh, that's it, mate. That's it. He's that could be the difference. You know, yourself and another Under Armour man. I might need to jump on the bandwagon. So, Adidas, you know,
get on the bandwagon. You know, mate.
Wait and see. Maybe, hopefully, Under Armour might come my way.
As many plugs as you like for the rest of the season.
It won't be the
you
last,
know I'm good.
Of course. It won't be the last.
No. Before we get into the season that's coming up, let's get into some off-season yarns, won't we? Surely the two of you have got some absolute rippers from some dumb stuff / fantastic stuff that have happened either this off-season or off-season's gone by. Jibba, what do you got for us?
Oh, I had a shocker one year. I think I was captain of the Blues. I went over to Bali for a sort of New Year's summer holiday, and the volcano erupted. I was over there with Nick Mayhew and his partner as well. So it was a real tough call for me. I had to ring as captain to T, and Nick had to do it as I think it was like his first or second year, so probably more awkward for him. But T was really good about it, and he just said, "Oh, we'll get back as soon as you can." And we ended up having to go up to Singapore and then back down to NZ that way. But we were there for an extra 10 days, so Nedge and I were out there doing broken Broncos and all sorts on Seminyak Beach, which looks ridiculous over there. The two old dogs are out there doing the hard work, but we were put to the test as soon as we arrived back for a fitness test. But we did all right. We didn't overindulge in those extra 10 days, that's for sure.
I was going to say, is there video evidence of this training?
Mate, we had to film our Bronco so you could get the time and stuff, but it was pretty hard on sand. No excuses, though. No excuses.
What about you, Brenny? You got anything good for us?
I'm actually going to probably go back a couple of years, and it's actually, funny enough, it's actually in Bali as well. I think when I was 22, 23, there's about eight of my mates, we ran over to Bali and stayed in Kuta of all places, which was an experience in itself. And, you know, you hear kind of rumours around their water system and not having the ice in your cups and that kind of stuff. And, you know, being young and dumb, 22-year-old, you know, had a couple of good nights out in Kuta, and then the next morning trying to have a drink of water and left a few ice cubes in there, and got a bit of a Bali belly for the next couple of days. And all eight of us were in an air conditioning room in Bali, Kuta. And if you don't know Kuta, it's not one of the greatest places to stay when you're in that kind of mindset and even feeling like that. And for about 2 days, we were just all in the same room, just in the same department of just, you know, pretty much spewing up and going down, taking turns in the toilet. So came back, and fortunately enough, like Jip, had to test well and got the job done. But I tell you what, for the first 2 days in Bali, it was tough going for me and the lads.
One toilet to share?
Well, we just couldn't move, Ross. Well, there was two bedrooms, and there was four beds in each bedroom, and yeah, we pretty much just got to a stage where we just couldn't really move. And so there was one TV that didn't work in our room, and so then we kind of just ventured over to the other room, and it just went through there. And then again, it just, everybody was going, it was all go. So thankfully we got tied as a group and as friends, but I can't say we'll be wanting to do that again anytime soon, or even in the future, to be honest.
Well, I suppose carrying on from there, the tightness in the group is something you guys have to experience in the Queenstown bubble. What are the serious challenges that you face and not being in your normal environment and having to stay in a hotel for 3 weeks like that and not be able to go out and do things? And, you know, even if you're in the Hilton, you know, it's got to be a little bit challenging.
Yeah, I think it is. I think, you know, ideally would love to be at home. I think, you know, if you think around the All Black boys and their experiences of being overseas for a long period of time and then, you know, having to come back into the environment and then go away from their families again, it's just after the New Year break. It's always tough for that, but I guess for us, it's just trying to keep that balance. And, you know, we do pretty well when we go on tour around having a good balance and not just having all rugby, but then being able to do other activities, even though we can't do a lot going to restaurants, cafes and that. But our entertainment committee have been great around keeping a bit of variety and keeping our boys engaged around having a bit of fun as well, because I think, you know, the trap you can fall into is that you tend to do a lot more on field with the rugby and even with meetings and that. But I think for us, when we are on the field and then having the opportunity to, even so, we can still connect because we are together. But I think for us, it's just being able to still have that fun and being able to get out and just trying to not get hotel cabin fever like a lot of the All Blacks did in that back end of that in that Rugby Championship and India Tour.
Jip, for you and the Players Association, how difficult was this to help set up and get going, you know, to the point where, you know, it was a couple of weeks and the tournament had to change on its head?
Yeah, look, it moved pretty quickly, but Cam Good and his team at NZR were exceptional in getting down there and doing the recce and I suppose getting the hotels ready, the training grounds. You know, a big challenge was gyms, being able to have separate gyms for the lads to go to and make sure that they could still get those trainings in that sort of specific way that they would if they're at home. So, look, there were some challenges, but as I say, the NZR team put it together pretty quickly. And by all accounts, speaking to a lot of the lads, you know, not only the Crusaders but the other five teams are happy where they're based and seem to be enjoying it as much as they can. But I still get regular phone calls for an early return date. So it's certainly a balancing act between getting these games played and player welfare and their connection with their families back home.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty difficult. And, you know, even for the teams who, like Moana Pacifica, who are now going through this COVID scare and their families are all at home, I bet that keeps you fairly busy having to get through all of that stuff.
Yeah, look, work alongside Harley Topolu, who's head of Pacific Rugby Players Association. So, you know, we've got a good connection in there, obviously closely linked with Sokopi, their skipper, and just making sure that, you know, they've got access to everything that they need and could possibly want it while they're locked down, and then making sure that we're keeping them up to date with information as it sort of changes, you know, potentially. As we move forward, the government announcements could change, which changes the picture of how many days isolating they may need.
Mm. I suppose, ironically enough, it's as the numbers go up, the isolation days go down, so that it could actually do everyone a favour.
I would agree with that, Ross. I would agree. As long as everyone has the mild case of it, nothing severe.
Yeah, nice. Good save there, Jiffa. Good save.
There's a politician there somewhere.
Let's get straight into it. You know, obviously there's chat about who the tournament favourite is. It starts this week. You know, we don't get the Blues Moana Pacifica game this week, but there are two other games on the agenda. The teams that are favourites for this tournament must be the teams that won last year. And when you look on paper, it seems to stack up. The Crusaders and the Blues. Now, Bryn, the Crusader, Jippa, the former Blue. I think there's probably a good chance to get into who you guys think the favourites are. And Bryn, you are a master of handing on favouritism to somebody else, but that's going to be pretty difficult in this particular deal. Where are you going?
Oh, I don't think that at all, Ross. I think, you know, the fact that the last game that was played, Super Rugby, you know, the Blues were champions and, you know, won that game against the Highlanders at Eden Park. And so I think with the recruitment that they've done, you look at, there's been a lot of hype. Jeff, I'd really be interested with your hype 15. Actually, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck would probably be in that hype 15 as your second five, definitely. But I think, you know, probably it's going to be great to see Roger Tuivasa-Sheck and how the Blues do use him. They've used him as a second five in the first two preseason games. And, you know, the more time that he'll get, it'll be interesting to see how he goes in that position, especially with what 12 and what you need with decision-making and that kind of moving from going league back into rugby and in him, how he goes with that. And then I think Luke Romano is a massive signing for the Blues, especially with Paddy Tuipulotu going away and then Gerard Tuiotamarana going away as well. I think his ability to be able to make that as a strength with their lineouts and more so around defensively and lineouts as well. I know how big he was for us, the Crusaders, without being able to suss out plans, have preview and review around what that looks like. And then just the whole team as well, the whole likes of, you know, Bodie's back there as well, who's coming back into 10. He was lifting there nicely. And they've just got depth in every single position. So, yes, you know, we have had success in the past and we're looking to be able to hopefully replicate that and continue to grow and get better at that. But look, I think the Blues, if you're going to look at one team this year, I think they'd be the favourites for sure.
Expertly done. Jipper?
Whether that puts them at favourites, I'm not too sure. Like, I'm obviously a little bit adverse to hyping up the Blues because throughout my whole career, whenever we got hyped up, we didn't quite deliver. So I might keep my powder dry. But, you know, I think the Crusaders are an interesting place as well. Obviously, a lot of All Blacks coming back and what impact that will have. But they normally, you know, you can't read into preseason too much. They normally come out swinging and, you know, obviously Richie's got a little bit of a break at the start, but once he's back, he'll be ready to sort of drive that team to the finals, no doubt. But my little smoky favourite, personally, is the Chiefs. I think, you know, they've got Guzzler back, Retallick, they've got Kane, the All Black captain, they've got Luke Jacobson, they've got Brad Webber, they've got Anton Leonard-Brown, You know, some serious experienced campaigners, great leaders, and guys that really know how to get the balance right for a group off the field, so it comes on the field. I mean, I think the battle between Josh Ioane and Bryn Gatlin and Caleb Trask for that 10 jersey will be interesting once that's sort of decided and they move forward from there. How maybe the 15 role is looked at, is one of them dropped to 15, or you've got Sean Stevenson who's you know, this could be the opportunity with Damian McKenzie away for him to set his you know, Super Rugby you know, form alight and have a good, you know, long fist at that 15 jersey, and you know, Chase Tiatia is there as well. So there's a lot of competition, a lot of depth in that squad. You know, we're really commended Clayton last year and the job he did. But I think he'll be better for that, and the support he has with Gats there full time, as in senior Gats, that is. I think that, you know, the way they've shown up pre-season, that they probably take the early favouritism going into this comp.
That's a great move, isn't it, Bryn? The way that they've done that to allow Clayton to continue on the way he left off last year. It seems like a masterstroke from the Chiefs that could help put them in a position to carry on with that wonderful knowledge and behind them, because they could have gone the other way. They could have easily gone the other way.
Yeah, look, I think the success that that Clayton has had, you know, we talked about it before, previously last year, with the fact of his success with Bay Plenty and bringing that group in there, and then, you know, transitioning into Super Rugby and having a great campaign last year, considering, you know, where they were not winning a New Zealand game last the year before under Gats. But I think, you know, even the likes of having Gats in and around that environment is going to be great for Clayton in that, and no doubt he's going to be in and around in that environment. Look, you know, overseeing and, you know, obviously Clayton and the coaching staff where they will have the run of the team, but anytime you can have that kind of experience up top and you can kind of draw on if you need it in season, it's going to be invaluable. So for the Chiefs, if you're talking around the coaching staff, it sets them up in a really good place. And I've been really impressed with Josh Ioane in this preseason form. Even obviously with Moana Pacifica, and then on the weekend, if they can play around him very similar to Damian McKenzie, obviously he's going to have a battle with, you know, with Trask and Bryn. But from what I saw with him early on, him being able to attack the line and being able to use his array of skills, whether it be footwork or going to the line, dummying, going through, or then his distribution skills as well. So I know it's going to be a great battle between Bryn Trasky and Josh Ioane, but I've been really impressed with his movement from the Highlanders, which probably didn't work out for best of them with Mitchell Hunt being the tenant there as well.
Who would you expect to start? Does Ioane get the start because he's a former All Black?
Oh, look, I don't think so. I think, you know, even Bryn, the first two games that he started, he's actually started the game really nicely, and then it's probably opened up for Joshy in the second half with the work that Gats and the forwards and the backs have done in that first stanza. So, again, Bryn did really, really well. I remember when we played that final against the Chiefs, and he started at 10 here. Tremendous game. And, you know, I'm a massive advocate for him being a teammate, and his distribution and his game management is one of his biggest strengths with his goal kicking as well. And then you've also got Josh Ioane, who we've just talked about with his array of skills and what he brings to the team. And so, you know, whether they have they both have similar roles, you look around, like Josh could start and then Bryn could come on and be the finisher, or could be around the other way. You could get Bryn doing the game management at the start and then bringing Joshy on with the last 30 minutes when the forwards are tired and it's kind of a little bit more open. Or you can play Josh Ioane at fullback and have that double pivot role, you know. So there's a lot of movements around there where they could go, but I think you could go either way, to be honest. But I'd, you know, just through form, I think you can go either. I'd go Josh.
I think on that though as well, Ross, is we saw last year with Damien moving to 10 and 15 and obviously changing up with Gats and Trasky a lot. I don't think Clayton's afraid to rotate that position for the game plan. So the skill set that suits the team they're playing or the game plan, like a lot of teams will settle on their 10 and they stick with it. But from what I sort of saw last year, I don't think they'll mind chancing their arm a couple of times, you know, two different styles. We know that Bryn's that game manager and will set the guys up around him, but also put the ball on the right parts of the field. And we know what Josh can do. He's very similar, I suppose, to Damien. He's got that running game. He's got that flat pass at the line, and that sort of, you know, that flair or something. You know, you never know what's going to happen. He's got that triple threat game. So I don't think it would be foreign to see them rotate a little bit in that position.
And Bryn, you guys are going to have to rotate a little bit at 10 with no Moonga around at the start. How are you guys coping with that?
No, I think both of our tents have been great. And I think, look, Ferg's been in and around the environment now for 3 years and has been under Richie and learning off him for a couple of years, and then been able to have a full Mitre 10 Cup Bunnings NPC last year to get under his belt and lead that Canterbury team. Set him up really nicely in this pre-season. And I think even with the likes of bringing in Simon Hickey, who's an experienced campaigner and he's played in different environments in different countries, and then coming back to New Zealand in full circle, his experience has been great. And so very similar to what you said around the tens at the Chiefs. I think, Ferg has been here and knows what it's all about. And then, Simon gets to come and learn a little bit off Ferg around what our structures are and what it is, what we're trying to achieve. But then at the same time, Simon's experienced enough that given the opportunity when he does get it, I'll have no doubt in my mind that he'll be able to lead us around if given the opportunity as well.
And the pickup of the year, of course, was Pablo Matera outside of Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. What's it been like having him in camp?
He's been great. He's been great. He's come in really, really nicely, and he's actually moved into Fenelton. Obviously, they brought up him in Christchurch when we were there. A great spot in Christchurch. So he's got a lovely little family that he's brought in, and there's actually a great Argentinian contingency down in Christchurch. So he's felt right at home. And then on the field, he's a guy that's at 100% all the time. So whether that be in contacts, walkthrough, you can just see the fire in his eyes, and he wants to hit somebody. So that kind of physicality element is going to be really massive for us this year. And I think Pablo brings that in spades. And the fact that with Ethan Blackadder being out injured in the first part of the year, having a guy like that, you can just slip in not only the physicality, but he can kick, he can run, he can pass. He's got all that flair that those Argentinian teams have, players have. So I've been really, really impressed with him, and looking forward to seeing how he goes in the first couple of rounds in Super Rugby Pacific.
Chipper loves to hear that he's an animal at training.
No, it just made me think of a lot of guys that we used to nickname Test Match, because there was never a moment at training where they wouldn't go at a hundy. And it sounds like he might be of that vintage.
Oh mate,
Who was
honestly, Joe, if you're having a contact session, with your little primers and that, yeah, there's one guy you want to try to stay away from because he only knows one way, and that's 100%. I think I actually copped a nice little shoulder. We did a little bit of wrestling, and was on top of him, and trying to hold on. And the drill was to be able to get him. You have to brawl on your front, off your back, and Pablo Matera has just absolutely got me off, and I've just flown up in the air, and he's just stood right back up in the first 5 seconds. And I'm just like, rightio, that's me. Pablo, you go jump in with Joe Moody, mate. Thanks.
That would be a good wrestle. Have a mood.
It would be. Yeah, it would be. He doesn't need me on there, mate. I'm just a little pipsqueak for Pablo. So
No, that was a poor
he's a bit.
example. He probably wanted you to say that he threw Sam Whitelock or someone in the air and bounced up. Using you, not so good.
Yeah, nice.
He'll be riding to Adi Savia to ask to join the club.
Oh mate, yeah. I've already got nightmares about Artie, so yeah. Just add it, the loose war tree, just keep adding them on my list. Thankfully, he's on my team.
Who was called Test Match in the Blues with you guys?
Oh, there are a number of people. I can't throw stones. Like I wasn't really switched off too many trainings, so I might have had it at start when I was a bit younger. I think Pitiwipu called me Test Match early on in my days, but then I got old and injured. But Harmy Fiver, who's now in the Italian squad, he when he came to the Blues, he's a hooker from Waikato, and my gosh, he definitely went after the number two jersey every week. There's no doubting that.
Is that why you started wearing the head cap? You're just copping too much from the spot.
No. Mate, you know what the pink bib is? I just spent my time with the physio room just going, can I just get the pink bib for bloody walkthrough? Just so he doesn't take my head off.
Fair enough, but Bryn is a fan of that bib too, now that he's a vet.
Oh, mate. Crucial. Crucial. It is, mate. It's crucial.
The other person who's come to join the Crusaders this year is Triple T. That means that you guys have got three really strong quality halfbacks. What's he brought to the table since he's been in the squad?
Oh, Tripp's been awesome, and I think more so for me, I've got to spend a lot of time with him and in the Māori camp, and he's just really cheeky and brings a great enthusiasm and something different, for our group, especially culturally around with his Māori heritage and that Māori kind of mana that he brings on about him has been great. for our environment. It's around leading that, and you know, whether that be the Māori word of the day coming in and presenting that to us in a funny way, or at the same time can then be able to be a little bit more serious around our haka and what the meanings are behind that, and then also on the field as well. Like you said, Ross, we're fortunate down south here that we've got three great nines that are battling it out, and so we all have different strengths and different experiences. And so I guess for us, Tripp's brought something different, and for us that Drummy and I have been able to learn off, and then at the same time we've been able to give a few things to Tripp that he's asked us as well. And so I think that's the best thing about our group, especially in the halfbacks, even when Eddie was here as well. Yes, we are competitors and we want to compete against each other, but anytime we can try to connect and being able to involve our game as a three, as a unit, it's only going to benefit our group moving forward. And then I think for us as a group as well, we pride ourselves on trying to be the best in the country, having the three best nines in the country.
Absolutely. And for our international viewers who don't know Triple T's, it's Te Toiroa Tahurirangi, the former All Blacks halfback who's come from the Chiefs down to the Crusaders. Let's talk a little bit about the Australian teams. Now, I know, Jipper, you love to pump an Australian team up. Do you see any of them who you think are a real competitor against the Chiefs, the Blues, the Crusaders, the people that we think could be the strong teams in this competition?
Look, I think there's, on paper, there's three teams that stick out. Obviously, you've got the Reds and the Brumbies, but I think the Waratahs come back into the mix this year. You know, they've got Ned Hannigan back, Hoops back. Will Harrison as well. He started coming into his own at 10 there towards the end. You know, we've spoken about Fouquetti and Peresi in that midfield. So there's a lot to like in their back three. There's a lot to like in their back row. But where I think they really need to knuckle down and nail it is they used to be, such a hard team to win line-out ball against. They were so good defensively. So if that type five can knuckle down and provide a bit of a platform, there's enough there for them to be really exciting going into this comp, and certainly ones to be wary of. And the same goes for the Brumbies and the Reds. You know, we know what to expect from them. We know it's always going to be high quality. And understanding that a lot of players out of those two squads have got international experience now. Mm-hmm. So they would have brought that back, and that will filter through that squad. So they'll be better again at this level. So I think we can expect them to lift. And I'm kind of excited about the Jura as well. Obviously beating the Rebels on the weekend pre-season, and again, probably set pieces where they need to make sure that they really nail, because we know that they've got the attacking flair and they've got the physicality defensively. It's just remaining in those systems for long periods of time, which will be key. And obviously not being on defence, having the ball is key, because if you're on defence so many phases, it tires you out the back end, and that's when teams can normally run away with it.
Mm. And it doesn't really matter what competition you look at. When there's an expansion team, you generally find that they have a pretty tough start. But in the case of the Drua, they have been there a little bit before. They're not a brand new team. They've been involved in other competitions, Bryn. Do you think that's going to hold them in fairly good stead to maybe get a few upsets along the way?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think, the thing was the NRC, they had a Fijian team that was in that competition, but correct me if I'm wrong, Ross, it could have been. So they have obviously had experience playing in an Australian competition. And so I think for the fact that they do get to start in the Australian competition, that's, no disrespect to the Australian conference, but, them being able to be in that conference has been able to put in some good performance to be able to then, like you said, have wins against the Rebels like they did in preseason. Preseason's obviously different, and in season is going to be the intensity, match intensity is going to be a lot more physical and different. But look, I think with Mick Byrne, we talked about it last year around what he brings in. And, you've got the Fijian flair, and, they'll be able to bring that consistently. But, winning their set piece and being able to be dominant around their set piece is going to be massive for them and getting that right. But then I think, having the likes of Mick Byrne, who is an astute rugby player and an astute mind, is going to be great for them moving forward. So I think for them, it's just going to be able to be consistent and being able to do that week in and week out. And again, it's probably, you look at probably the first couple of weeks of the competition, they'll be high and buoyed by being in the comp. But then, at the back end, when you might be having a few injuries and then being able to have, maybe a couple of losses, how do you then get back to zero, reset, and then being able to consistently keep performing and getting those wins, not just being a one-off?
So on the table, Jipper, what's a success story for them?
I'm not too sure. Like, I don't want to downplay them. I think the key is what Bryn said is that squad depth. Every squad will start off with a hiss and a roar, but as we've seen in previous seasons, the team that can manage their squad the best will probably, you know, end up the winner. And it's more about that depth when they get slipped in there. You don't actually know that there's been too many changes. And you know, I'm not afraid to say that the Crusaders have probably been the best at executing that over the last 3 or 4 years in terms of rotating their squad and making sure guys are peaking at the right time. So I think a success for them would be, you know, potentially just outside the eight. Outstanding would be making the eight. I think that would be a huge success. And knowing Mick, he'll be talking about making the eight. He'll be really focused in on that. And I think because he's such an astute coach and he's really skill specific, that'll hopefully make them make really good decisions when you know, they're out there in the field of play and not throwing too many 50-50s, you know, making sure that the passes are on or the rush out of the D-line is on and it's clinical. It's a clinical decision.
Mm. What about for Moana Pacifica? Because they've got that little bit more trouble in that they're a brand new team and they're suddenly struggling with these COVID difficulties. What success for them this year, Bryn?
It's a tough one. Just the fact that they're in, look, the New Zealand Conference.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And the fact that, you know, being in the New Zealand Conference, it's going to be tough for them. And probably, I'll probably say the first month, it's going to be a really good learning, a lot of learnings for them moving forward. And even Sakopi talked around it after that first game against them, against the Chiefs, the learnings that they're going to get, you know, from playing these kind of intensity games against New Zealand players. And so, you know, they've got a lot of young guys in that environment. You look at the contingencies around, like, the Magpies with Eddie Anati, McClutchie, and then even the likes of the Tasman boys that are in there as well. So I think for them, it's been able to get an identity of what their player is going to be like and being really disciplined around what that's going to look like and just taking the learnings from that. So I think early on it's going to be hard for them to be able to see what that's going to look like, but I think, again, seeing it as two blocks, I reckon that's how I probably describe it. The first block, they're playing the New Zealand teams and being able to get a DNA of what that's going to look like them for throughout the season and being able to make the learnings along the way. And then when they do to start to play the Australian teams or the Fijian Drua in the second part of the comp, hopefully, then they might have their DNA set in structures and then being able to, obviously depending on, hopefully they don't have a lot of injuries, then playing that second part of the competition and seeing if they can get a couple of scalps at the back end of the competition.
You agree there, Jip?
Well, I just want to make sure that people aren't stressing out at home that there's no conference system. It's one table. Everyone, it's just because of COVID, it feels that way because we're loading all, I suppose, the local derbies early. So there's still one table, nothing's changed there. But with MP, I think the key will be, like, I was, you know, pretty impressed, especially early on against the Chiefs, their defensive efforts, their line speed. Levi Amua in that centre was really putting some pressure on and forcing the Chiefs back infield into, I suppose, that Moana Pacifica, you know, defensive traffic. So it's sustaining that. But the problem was in that game is they were just on defence for too long. And that was due to not been able to, I suppose, secure that ball at set piece and that breakdown. So if they can nail that set piece and that breakdown area and to get a bit of balance between attack and defence and not having to always be on the back foot, because defence does sap you a little bit more than attack, I think they'll be a bigger threat than people probably expect. And the one thing I like about when you're in a team and you're in a position of Moana Pacifica and people are probably not expecting much, you've got nothing to lose. And I just think that's such a dangerous mindset to have when you come up against it and you're expected to win.
Eight of the 12 teams make it. So, you know, there is a chance to slip into that playoffs. Even if you are one of these expansion teams, there is a chance there being such a large percentage getting in there, Bryn.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. You go, Bryn.
Oh, whoever.
You get on.
Jipper, you go for it, mate. Go, get in there.
Because it's a little bit of a passion for me is because, like, as a fan now, your team's in the hunt for the whole season. Like, if it's a top four, you know, man, if you don't get off to a good start, you're in struggle street. You're probably not in the mixer. And I think the biggest key to remember is we're trying to keep people engaged in our game and you know, a part of it and you know, make it feel like, you know, something to be passionate about. And if your team falls off to a bad start, as sometimes it has, if you don't have that preseason form, and then they come hot towards the end, it doesn't really matter. But whereas this stage, if you can, I suppose, build, like if we use the Highlanders, for example, in 2015, you know, they hit a hot streak at the most important, probably didn't start that well, but they came home with a strong finish and eventually won it. And that's what I like about the 8-12 year. I know it's a big percentage, 66% or 66.666 or whatever it is reoccurring. But I think it is, it's exciting for that sense for the fan, and it's also really engaging for the players to feel that sniff. And as we've seen in NRL, 8 can tip up 1, it can happen. And then it really puts a bit of spice in the mixer.
NRL number 1 for the season. We've got our first mention. Good work. But it's a fair point really, isn't it, Bryn? Like, you've got to make sure that these teams have got something to play for. Otherwise it just falls away by the wayside. And you look at the American sports, it's one of the things that they do so well with wildcard races and things like that.
Yeah, it does. And I think it's great for the fans as well. You know, like you said, I think, you know, in the top four, kind of, if you're having that top four, the margin of error is so small. And if you get it wrong, then, you know, it ends up being a long season and then your fans aren't engaged because you can't make the top four. But having that top 8 out of the 12, it keeps fans being able to be engaged and say that our team does have a chance. And I think Jip brings up a really good point around that Highlanders team and getting the form at the right end of the year. You know, I remember, you know, if you even finish number 1 and number 2 or something like that, you end up seeing it 7th and 8th and they've gone on a win streak of 4 or 5 and you're thinking, oof, we played them earlier in the year and we were convincing against them. But in the back end of the year when, you know, there might be a few injuries here and there on our part or whoever it might be, and then you've got the opportunity to play that team who have played really well for five match span, it ends up being a doozy of a game. And you get given that opportunity to play. Whereas that top four, there's too much ground to make up. You don't get the opportunity to play, even if you have won 4 or 5 games in a row. But just for the fact that it's too tight and you've missed your opportunity with your slow start of the season.
Okay, let's put our money where our mouths are. Top 8 predictions. Bryn, you go first, mate. How do you see this panning out?
I don't want to go first. I'm going to go. I'm going to call it. I'll call all the New Zealand teams, bar Moana Pacifica. So I'm going to go five New Zealand teams. And then 2 Australian teams, definitely. And then there might be a little bit of wiggle room. Oh, no, sorry, the Fiji and Drua are part of the Australian conference, aren't they? So I think it's going to be 3 Australian
teams. Conferences, mate.
They're playing well. That's how we're playing the Aotearoa teams to start with. Obviously, it is the Pacific, like you said, Jip. But that's how I'm seeing it. So, but I think 5 New Zealand teams and 3 Australian teams will be the makeup.
And who are those 3 Aussie teams?
What three?
I'm gonna go Rebel. Oh, sorry, not Rebels. I'm gonna go Reds, Brumbies, and then there might be either the Drua or the Waratahs finishing their 8th spot.
Fair play.
Well, no particular order. I think it'll be the Tars, Brumbies, Reds, and Blues, Crusaders, Chiefs, Hurricanes, Highlanders. And I know that sounds brutal, but I think that's the reality of where it's at. And the Jura, maybe MP, if they can, as I said, find that set piece success, they could slip in there. But I think those three Aussie teams will be a force this year. The squad depth they've got and personnel, I think it's going to be exciting going into that final series.
I think also as well, Jip, I think also as well, the fact that the Australian teams actually got a taste of playing the New Zealand teams last year, and I think the learnings that they'll be able to take from those experiences of being able to play us and understanding what our game plan is, and same as for us as well. We went from Super Rugby Aotearoa, they had Super Rugby AU just playing in their conference, but then having that ability to play us last year and get the learnings of what that looked like for us. For us, we had some great learnings of playing a different style of rugby that the Australians do play to New Zealanders, and we found ourselves having to defend or attack a lot differently. So I think the experience of the Australian teams have had that to play against us, and then you also talk around the Wallabies, Jip, being able to play the All Blacks and, four test matches as well. I just think it's going to get marry them up a little bit better when playing New Zealand teams compared to last year.
The Dave Rennie effect as well, that'll filter down. Like, there's a lot of confidence in that Wallabies squad now, especially the way they performed in that rugby championship. There'll be a lot of belief over there. There'll be a lot of backs against the wall, nothing to lose. And we know that the attitude and I suppose the conviction Australians have and belief in themselves is going to be huge. And I think they're starting to get that back in spades.
We're going to have a quick fire round later on towards the end of the show, but let's have a chat, maybe some predictions for players. Who is going to be the Super Rugby Player of the Year this year, Jipper? I mean, it's been Richie Maunga for years now. Is it someone else this time around?
Yeah, look, I think if it's if the Chiefs are to win it, I think Josh Ioane would play a big factor in that. So I think, you spoke about Richie, and I think any team that wins it, normally the 10 will be playing out of their skin. But for me personally, I think Luke Romano, Player of the Year at the end of the year, and the Blues are doing all right. I won't say win it. I'm just saying that I think he's going to be a big factor for the Blue.
Did he bring you out a boar up from a shooting expedition somewhere or something, and bring it to your house? Well, how did this end up coming to be?
No, mate, I don't know. I just think he's just such an asset, man. Like, he is so good at that NPC. Like, he was player of the, well, he's nominated for Player of the Year. Probably could have got it. He's just, man. He's tough to tackle. He will move bodies. He'll go all day. And he brings a hard edge to that tight five, and that really excites me.
I suppose that kind of speaks to the fact that the player of the year isn't necessarily the superstar of the year, right? The impact you can have on a rugby game is more than just, the impact that you have on the young kids who are watching it, Brent.
Yeah, I think it does. And look, if we use Luke Romano as an example, like Centurion, Crusader had given so much to us and probably didn't play a lot in the last couple of years of his career down there just due to the fact of our depth. But, he can go to another environment now, and with the likes of Paddy and Epper and a few of those locks going away, he can be, he can go right into that team and being able to not only offer so much off the field, but going onto the field and being able to experience, give his big game experience to that young locking group, and then even more so to their group that's already played really well in the last, 12 to 24 months. So, but I think for me as well, I've had a couple of another guys that I've had a look, obviously talked to Richie Mwangi, who's won it the last couple of years, who is always hard to beat at Super Rugby. I've got Will Jordan, who was great in the All Black environment and, plays fullback for us and has always been consistent around Super Rugby. And then you can't look past Ardie and Geordie for the Hurricanes, who are massive cogs in their wheel when they're back. And even the likes of TJ Perenara, unfortunately, he's got a bit of an injury, but he's always a focal point in that group. And then I've also got Aaron Smith for the Highlanders, and then actually Mitchell Hunt as well. I think the fact that he did one out in that competition battle with Josh Ioane, it's his baby now, it's his ship that's going to be steered with Nuggie as well, and obviously with Folau there as well, with him being able to play more games and have more chances to influence the Highlanders brand and the Highlanders game, knowing that he's the tenor of that club.
So who is it, mate?
I'm gonna go. Oh, actually, I'm actually gonna go for one of your guys, Jip, Dalton Papali'i as well. Actually, I might go Dalton Papali'i, just for the
He
fact
was
of him
close.
being captain, being captain as well of the Blues, and had such a great year last year. And the fact that it was probably the incumbent seven on that tour, with the fact of how well he played in the Rugby Championship and the European end of year tour. So Dalton Papali'i, yeah, is one guy that I'd probably say as well. He'd probably be my man if the Blues go well.
That was a really impressive decision by the Blues for me. I spent a little bit of time with Dalton, and he's such an impressive young guy. Like, obviously highly determined, quite straightforward, but incredibly nice and relatable at the same time. Incredible rugby player, Jipper. What's your experience been with Dalton inside camp? What he's like within a group of players at the Blues?
Yeah, look, Dalton's captained teams his whole way throughout his career, and I think when he signed to the Blues, there was an expectation that he would be captain one day, and he's earned the right to be there. He's certainly a great choice while Paddy is away. I think what he gets right is, man, you talk about Hundy at training. He is a Hundy, full of energy, into everything, and he's an actions-driven leader. But he has the ability to give a hard message as well. And then as soon as he comes off that training field or the playing field, he's one of the lads, and he gets that balance right. He knows how to interact with guys older than him, younger than him, management, front office staff. He's involved and connected with everyone. So I think he's a great fit. And I do think, though, the one thing the Blues have got right over the last few years is spreading that responsibility on game day, letting Dalton play, and the game drivers really, making sure that they're across how they're going to play and what game plan and what happens, around penalties and stuff, and making sure that it's, three or four players across the game, because I think that's the key, is not overwhelming any one individual, is getting that balance throughout that leadership group.
Hopefully he can do it well for them. I'm looking for a second title, and probably, the real title is probably the thing you want to call it. You've got to beat everyone to take
Settle down,
that real
Ross.
title,
Settle
eh?
down. Settle
A
down.
real title that's on the line at the moment is the Six Nations, and can anyone stop France? That was pretty impressive on the weekend. Bryn, anyone getting in the way of them?
Oh, it was a great game. I think I probably look at that first half and probably a bit of news, I think, on both parties. I think there were a few mistakes probably early on in that first 40, and then probably it really opened up in the second 40 around what we're used to seeing, and especially with that French flair. You even look at the first part of that, the first minute of that game, the likes of Intermac and Dupont in and around. That's all they need, that one moment to be able to score a try, and then in the sixth minute, they score a try. Ireland score a try off the kickoff, and that kind of set the tone for the game. And then the second half, I thought it really opened up around both teams trying to play, and then there wasn't a lot between them, to be honest. I don't think, Jip, you might think a little bit different, but I thought there wasn't a lot between them, and it was only probably a bit of discipline in the end where they were able to get over the line with France. So they probably do have one more stern test with England, and then you probably look at that Scotland Wales game. Probably Scotland's probably filthy around that game, not getting that win, because I thought they were tremendous and they gave a lot, and no doubt we'll go into a little bit more depth around that Scotland Wales game. But France, mate, they are looking impressive. We talked around them last year, being one of the form teams in world rugby at the international level, and they've had a great start with going 2-0 in the Six Nations.
Yeah, look, I agree there was nothing between them, but they certainly had different tactics. And I think Ireland will be kicking themselves around that 72nd minute when they opted for the three at 27-21. And all game, similar to when they played the All Blacks, they kicked the corner and they got rewarded. Every time they went to the corner, they scored, 5 or 7 points if converted. And I thought that they just lost their nerve at a key time of, 8 minutes ago, kicked to the corner. 28-27, the pressure goes back on the French. And then the French were just smart with their scoreboard pressure. They opted for the three, they took the three every time. So I think discipline against the French is going to be key if you want to tip them up. But I still think it's an open race. We saw the French, they were off for a hiss and roll last year and ended up losing it just through that inconsistency. So I think it'll show a lot of growth in them to go you know, unbeaten and take this title, but I think that's what it will take. They'll have to go unbeaten, and they've got some tough challenges. You know, I think we saw some growth and something to be excited about in the English game against Italy, especially from their click plays, their turnover ball, but more importantly, their defence, keeping them to nil. And don't let the score sort of detract away from that. That was a big defensive effort because Italy had a lot of ball, had a lot of opportunities in their red zone, and they didn't quite take them. So I think that English game, and I do think the Welsh as well, maybe have a soft spot for me old mate Wayne Pivac, but I think they orchestrated that win really well on the weekend, and it was tit for tat in that game, but I think they were the better side on the night, and they were just more of a percentage playing side with the ability to pull the flare out, whereas the Scots really tried to play, and that's their style. And look, I've got no problem with that. They've got the hard edge maul, but they've also got that flair with Finn Russell there, and they probably just didn't quite get their balance right, which created opportunities for the Welsh to come back after such a hot start.
Just on that game, Wales and Scotland, Jip, did you feel that in that first and second half? I look at that first half and the ball in play and the level of high face counts from both teams, the enterprise spirit wanting to play attacking rugby. Honestly, after that first 40 minutes, I thought, like, what a spectacle, what a game, considering both teams are running the ball and playing with the ball with a lot of air. And then I also thought Bigger's calls around has been able to take those line-out options as well and going for the corner. You know, you look at that 31st minute, you know, they chucked it in the corner where they had it easily, could have got that 3 points, but again, shows that kind of that wanting to score try mindset in that first half, which I thought was a really big call. And then in that second half, I don't know, Jip, if you found that it was a lot more kicking and a lot more real tight and defensive battle and breakdown and being able to build pressure through that way. And I thought, you know, Wales probably did that just a little bit better in Scotland. You know, even obviously Finn Russell gets sent off, which isn't great in the dying moments, but when it was in the battle of the 67th minute. But did you find it was a little bit different, a game of two halves?
Yeah, well, look, I think the point you made about that first 40 being electric and full of energy, it's toll on both sides, to be honest, and they had to adjust tactics, and they did so. And as I said, I just think the Welsh played the percentages a little bit better. And I think the yellow card was a big factor. Man, you lose your 10 for 10 minutes. It doesn't matter how good you are as a team. It'll put the pressure on. And probably the winning and losing, but I think that'd be unfair on the Welsh to say that. I think they orchestrated that game really well. And I agree with you. Some of the decision-making by Bigger to go to the corner was huge and when to take the points. And that's what I sort of mentioned with the Irish. I think they just lost their nerve and something that's worked so well for them, you know, obviously against the Southern Hemisphere sides, but now the Northern Hemisphere.
Johnny Sexton being out of the team, massive thing for them. I mean, in the long run, they need to make sure they got someone who's there if he's not.
Yeah, look, for Johnny, I think he was a big hole to fill because he just has that ability to know when to put the ball in behind, where he gives Jamison gives him confidence to, you know, topple that box kick into the corner like he did against the All Blacks. So I think he was a big missing piece, but I thought Carberry went really well, and maybe Jamo could have taken the pressure off him by kicking a little bit more for that territory-based game that Johnny normally takes over for.
Because I actually thought as well the Irish kicking game was really, really good. I think the contestables of Jamo, they were getting some really good pay in that first half, being able to get the ball back and then being able to get that click attack and being able to play on top of teams. And then I think as well, the kicking off 10, they got a lot of pay out of that. So I think, you know, probably moving forward, if that's something they wanted to bring into the game, because they were getting a lot of pay out of that kicking game as well, Jip. I don't know if you saw that as well.
Yeah, look, they kicked a lot of contestables in between the 40s, which I think was great. And they got a lot of ball back. I just think it kind of gone for the corner and played that mentality of just trapping, you know, I keep referring to the All Blacks, but it's obviously the one that we're so interested in, is they just trapped them down there. You know, Johnny and Jamo that day just put the ball back and behind them and it out. And I think a couple of times, not always going, they obviously went in for a game plan of contestables, which is great, and they got reward for it. But just getting that balance of that territory-based stuff could have been, you know, the I suppose, the winning of it for them by trapping the French down in their half.
What was the performance of the weekend from the Six Nations players for you, Jibber?
Tarik Furlong. I honestly reckon he is just in the form of his life. Some of the balls he is giving out the back, I think it was about 51st minute, he just pop. He's square, he's looking down the field, his hips are square, and he's no looking it out the back, just straight to the pivot's hands, and they attack and they break from that ball. He did it a number of times, but I think around that 51st minute that they broke up the middle through him doing that and providing space for others. And he does his set piece stuff so well, but some of his skill set from you know, the performances on the end of your tour or our end of your tour, he was massive, and he's just continued that on. He's just honestly one of the best players in the world at the moment.
Yeah, I had a couple of plays as well. I'm really glad you brought that up, Joe, because I also had Porter as well. You know, the ability that those two props have, it seems like that's the way of the game that's going to go now. They're athletic, they're powerful, they're fast, and their skill set is unbelievable. And so I think those two working in tandem were great. And I think even in that 44th minute, Porter gets that steal to then be able to give that try for who scored it, the seven. He ended up scoring it for the shift drive on the 44th minute. I can't remember what his name is, but through Porter's ability to be able to jackal, and that seems to be the case with a lot of these props in world rugby now. We talk around the you know, Kitsoff and the South Africans and Marks and the tight forwards being able to steal the ball. I think Furlong and Porter, you know, one-two punch, one of the best in the world. And then I also had Villiers, the winger for France. I don't know if these stats were right, but it says that he had six turnovers in the game on the weekend. And so, you know, you look around, we probably look at his stats around, probably didn't have a lot of high carry meters, but every time he does get the ball, he's over that advantage line every single time. And then defensively as well, makes great defensive reads, and his collisions and his ability to be able to win contact through his tackling was great on the weekend. And so, you know, those are probably Porter and obviously the French wingers with Villiers as well, with my guys.
Just on that, I think a lot of his turnovers came from counter-rucking the wide rucks. And if you watch Jamison Gibson Park's try, the French, I think, have got to get that balance right between overcommitting, because three guys in that ruck, it forced the French rock or the tight defender right by the ruck to rush out, and that gave Jamo the space to go through and score. So the balance between counter-rucking, you know, counter-rucking wide rucks is normally safe, but when you're committing three men in the middle of the field with guys as nifty as Jamo is, you know, it's probably a poor decision by those players. So I think the French have just got to be wary. They had a lot of reward out of doing it, I know that, but it also cost them 7 points at quite a crucial time.
Awesome. Okay, here we go. The quick fire round to finish us off, because, you know, people have asked us to stop waffling on and on and on and on in all of our answers. So the quick fire round. First up, start with you, Bryn. Which uncapped player we picked for the All Blacks and the Wallabies this season out of Super Rugby?
Oh, jeez. Uncapped.
This isn't quite Falau
Fakatava able? Falau Fakatava? Is he able, Jip?
Yep,
I'll go Falau Fakatava. And I don't know Australia.
Okay, well, I'll give two for Aussie then. I think Michael Wells, the skipper of the Rebels, he was brought in but didn't get capped last year. Will Harrison, 10, the Waratahs. I think he might get a lick if he can get on the back of that forward pack. And then I'm going to go two because I just couldn't split it in NZ. And I've got Stephen Perifetta off the back of his NPC award. And I think he's going to get some good minutes at 15. And with Damien in Japan, he's a big chance because he can cover that 10-15 axis the same. And then you'd have to think Roger Tuivasa-Sheck will factor at some stage.
Okay, from that then, Rookie of the Year, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck?
Bryn?
Pablo Matera.
He says so he gets cleaned out less at rucks. And for you, Jipper?
Tom Parsons at the Hurricanes.
On a side note, other than Pablo Matera, I've actually got Cortez Ratima as well for rookie. Watch out, he's a halfback in the Chiefs.
Nice.
I'll say mine again, Tom Parsons. Get the big fella up there.
There's some more beers coming your way. There's payment going on for all of these appearances. It's not just Under Armour, it's everybody else too. Top try scorer, Bryn.
Will Jordan.
Caleb Clark.
It's not a hooker?
No.
It's not. You're telling me there's not going to be any line-out tries this year?
I mean, if there was a hooker to do it, probably Samisoni Takiaho, the way he played on the India Tour, or Colsey.
Yeah.
But nah, okay, Caleb Clark, come back into some rare form and score plenty.
What are you most excited about this season, Bryn?
Me personally?
Yep, quick fire though.
Mate, just been back on the field. Haven't played a game in 8 months. So looking forward to just being back out there.
And if you couldn't tell, Luke Romano for me. Can't wait to see him in a Blues jersey.
Okay, and to round it out, week one winners. Who wins the games? Let's start with the New Zealand side, not conference, New Zealand games over here. Who wins those games? Go on, Bryn.
Nah, you go first, Joe.
Crusaders and the Chiefs.
I'm going to go the Chiefs, and then obviously just going to see how it plays out the other game.
Okay, let's run through the other games. I'll just bring it up on my screen. Obviously, no more Under Pacifica v Blues, but New South Wales v Waratahs. Bryn? New South Wales Waratahs v Fiji and Drua, sorry. Can't play themselves.
Nice. Waratahs.
Waratahs.
Reds, Rebels?
Reds.
Brumbies, Force.
Brumbies.
Where's that being played?
That's at GIO Stadium.
Yep, sweet.
Righty-o. Okay. And finally, just to clarify, the winner of Super Rugby? Bryn?
I'd love to say us. I'd love to say the Crusaders, but the Blues or the Chiefs as well. They are big title contenders as well.
As well? Or who are you choosing? This is quick fire.
Those are my three teams that I'll be choosing. That's what I'll be choosing.
I'm going to play a bit like Bryn at the moment and say one of the five New Zealand franchises.
This is why people tune in. They're looking for the big call.
You're not playing, Jeff, mate. Call the Blues, mate. You've got a bloody jersey. Mate, Centurion Blues jersey out there.
Mate, if you'd open your ears, I just said of backing the Blues. Look what's behind me.
Nice point.
Great. I wouldn't be allowed back in there if I didn't.
The Dalton Papali'i and the Blues it is then. So everyone, please enjoy your first weekend of Super Rugby right there on Sky Sport and catch all of the reaction on rugbypass.com and all the build-up with us as well. So thanks once again for joining us to start of Season 3 of the Aotearoa Rugby Pod. Ross Carl, Bryn Hall, James Parsons, mā te wā.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.